Will the rest of you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15? We're going back to the Gospels. It's been since November. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, we have been in the Gospels on and off now for the last few years. I've been preaching through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and not going specifically in one Gospel, but trying to go in a chronological timeline. And last we were in the Gospels back in November, we took a break for a while, we covered in Matthew 15 and had just finished talking about what was clean and unclean and how what comes out of our heart is what shows whether we're clean and unclean and not how we wash the exterior. This was something that Jesus had told the Pharisees that made them very mad. Whenever the Pharisees would come to Jesus and try to just put him in a place where they knew that he wouldn't be able to answer, tried to trick him and things like that, he always turned it around and showed them their own sin, the sin of their own heart and the need for them to come to repentance. And so after he talks to him about this, Scripture says that he leaves and goes to another area to go, it looks like, to find some solitude, some time to relax on with his disciples and maybe what we call some downtime. But as we'll see, there was never really downtime for Jesus unless it was in the middle of the night on a mountain by himself in prayer. If it was any time people could come to him, they would find him. Today we're going to talk about a woman who comes to him that is not from the Jewish background. She has no claim on the Jewish Messiah, and she seeks him out and wants her desires answered by the Savior. And so I want to talk to you this morning about what do you do when you go to the Lord and you don't find the answer that you're seeking right away? How do you persist? How do you persevere to get your prayers answered? Because I think this morning we'll find from someone who should know nothing about seeking out Jesus, who should know nothing about seeking out the Lord because her background was totally a background of just hedonism and walking with other gods besides the Lord, chasing after all the things that the world had. And yet she shows a faith that we can all learn from. She shows how we can persist and persevere in prayer, beseeching or begging or asking the Lord to answer the nearest and dearest prayer of our heart. Will you stand with me as we honor God in the reading of his word? Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 21. And then we're gonna jump over to Mark chapter 7. And we're going to see two different perspectives of the same event. In Matthew chapter 15, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out to us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Look with me, if you can, in Mark chapter 7. Same event, different perspective. God using John Mark in the writing of his gospel to record this event. Mark chapter 7, starting in verse 24. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even the dogs under the table eat their children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Lord, I pray that we would know and understand that you are a great and compassionate God. Lord, and that when we don't hear you reply, when we don't see, Lord, the circumstances changed, when we don't get the answer we're expecting, that we would remember that you are a great and compassionate God. And Lord, just as this woman learned true faith, Lord, that we would as well. And that we would walk with you and not give up. That we would hold on to you and wrestle in prayer with you until we see your glory. Lord, I pray that this morning your name would be praised by our being here and reading and hearing your word. In Christ I pray. Amen. There are many places in Scripture where Jesus talks about having a persevering faith. There are many times in Scripture that we see people with a persevering faith. We see the faith of a Daniel who throughout his life was never shaken, but always trusted in the Lord. We see how the Lord used that. We see the faith of the apostles, how even faced with losing their life for Christ, they stayed to the end. They were constantly in prayer. They were constantly turning to the Lord and depending on Him. If you remember the faith of Jacob, when God appears to him, an angel of God appears to him, and he wrestles with this angel all night long, not letting go until he was going to be blessed by God. Here we see the faith of someone that we would never, ever expect to have this kind of faith. A woman that did not come up in the Jewish background, did not know the Jewish God, would have been worshiping other gods, Baal and Asherah, and all sorts of vile, disgusting habits of worship. The Phoenicians, the Canaanites, there's many different names they would have gone by. They lived in the land of Syria, modern-day Syria. They lived in the land of Lebanon. These areas, they would have worshipped in ways, they would have had prostitutes at their shrines for worship. They would have sacrificed their own children in worship. They were detested by the Jews. They were sworn enemies of the Jews. And we see Jesus leaving the Jewish lands and going to the edge of the Phoenician lands. And we see one woman come to find him. What can we learn from her? She was desperate. She was determined. And she found deliverance. She was desperate. It says in verse 22 of chapter 15, the Gospel of Matthew, a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Now let me ask you, having a background other than Judaism, what would she have done to get healing for her daughter? Like any mother, she would have tried whatever was available. Whatever. She would have tried other gods. She would have tried local customs. She would have tried anyone that said that they could help. And she finds out that Jesus is in the area. And she is so desperate, she will go to him. This, at this point, doesn't signify a great faith. Desperation of soul doesn't show that you have faith in the one that you seek. Just because a person comes to church and cries out to God and says, "God, my life is a mess. I need you. I need something. Nothing is working." That doesn't mean that's a saving faith. That is a desperate heart And that is the first step for a saving faith. And that is absolutely the first step of a persevering life of prayer. An absolute desperation. The day that you and I decide we're not desperate for the Lord is the day we stop praying in faith. But it is only the beginning of a faith. She calls him the Son of David. She knows that he is Jerusalem and the Jewish Savior. But is he her Savior? We don't know that. We just know that out of desperation, she will come. Her child is sick. Nothing has helped. So she leaves the child to make this desperate plea. Now remember, she has no claim on Jesus. There is no reason he has to listen to her. He was sent to the lost sheep of Israel first. Eventually, all the Gentiles would be open to the gospel. But to begin with, Jesus came to Israel. Just like when the gospel went out from Jerusalem after Jesus' resurrection, when the apostles went out, Peter was the apostle to the Jews. Then Paul took the gospel to the Gentiles. But even when Paul would go into a new area, he would always start with the Jews. So at this point, this woman has no claim over Jesus. There is no way she can come to him and say, "You are the Savior of my people. Heal my daughter." Nothing she can do. And yet she still comes. Out of desperation, she's not letting anything stop her. She's not going to let her own past. She's not going to let the past of her people. She's not going to let the past of the Israelites. She will let nothing get in her way. Because in her desperation, she is going to seek out Jesus. Is that your heart? What things are you wanting God to change in your life? What things are you asking and begging God to make a difference in? Are you desperate yet? Because that's the first step of a persevering prayer life. Absolute desperation. Lord, you are my only hope. I'm sorry, Lord, I've tried everything else. I'm sorry, I should have come to you first. Why do we do that? Why is it that our prayer life has to get to the point of desperation? Why isn't it just in our hearts that we will turn to the Lord first and foremost and not care what anybody else has to offer? Every time we need a decision, every time we have trouble, He should be our first place to go. Our hearts should be so desperate. Why? Because we know there is no one else that we can find healing from but the Lord. Why not go to Him first? This woman had a desperate heart. She didn't care about obstacles in her way. She didn't care that she was a woman and he was a man. She didn't care that women would never be heard by men. She didn't care about those things. She was desperate. She had a daughter who was possessed by demons. We have no idea the extent of her illness, have no idea what things would have been showing up in this girl's life. But we know that the mother needed an answer. First step in persevering prayer. First step in hearing God answer our prayer. First step in a true faith is an act of desperation of our soul. If I never came to that place of desperation, I would never know the mercy of God in my life. True saving faith is only born out of desperation of the soul. But desperation isn't enough. Because if you're desperate today, maybe tomorrow you feel like you're fine. Maybe tomorrow you wake up and you're self-sufficient. How many times have we seen people desperate coming to this church, desperate, crying and needing a Savior, and yet weeks later, no, that's okay. That stuff doesn't work for me. No, I'm too busy. I have work to do. Desperation has to be a lifetime, lifelong event in our lives. But it has to be added to determination. Notice how determined this woman was. When She cries out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terrible from demon possession. We find in verse 23, Jesus did not answer a word. Now imagine this picture. Jesus has come to this region. He wants some rest and relaxation. That's what we can surmise, because in Mark it says that he didn't want anybody to know where he was and he was coming to this home. And yet, there's a woman outside crying out, Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed. Son of David, have mercy on me. We don't know how long she did this. What was Jesus' answer? Nothing. I can imagine Jesus and his disciples leaving the house and walking down the street, and the woman just following behind out of her desperation. But she was determined, wasn't she? Although she cried out and got no answer, she kept crying out. She didn't give up. How many times on Monday, out of desperation, does your heart cry out, Lord, please? And yet on Tuesday, you forget. Oh yeah, I was praying for that. Because you never heard an answer back. And on Wednesday, you wonder, why doesn't God answer my prayer? And maybe on Sunday, you come to the pastor and said, God never answers my prayers. Where's the determination? Where's the decision that I will chase after the Lord until I hear Him speak back to me? Where is the determination? Nothing is going to stand in my way. I don't care if the disciples say, Lord, send her away. Can't you hear her crying out? Now, there's some people, some scholars that look at this passage and they say, the disciples were asking Jesus, heal the daughter so we can send her away. And others saying, no, they were just saying, Lord, if you're not going to answer her, get rid of her already. But did she care? No. Why is it that so many times we will stop short of seeing the Lord's glory in our life because of what other people around us think? Why is it so many times we stop praying, we stop seeking, we stop being desperate because someone said something that hurt our feelings, that someone questioned our true faith, someone got in our way of Jesus and we gave up? This woman wasn't going to let anything get in her way. Instead, what happens? Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying after us. And just imagine, Lord, she's bothering us. By the way, church, remember this verse the next time someone needs ministry and you find it to be very annoying. Remember this verse next time someone takes up too much of your time and you've got something else to do. Remember this verse. Lord, send her away. Do we really want to be a people that are sending people away from Jesus and asking Jesus just to get rid of them because they're annoying? This woman, I'm sure, was very annoying in her determination. But she wasn't letting the disciples get in her way. She wasn't even letting Jesus stop her from her desire to see him look to her problem and bring healing to it. Send her away, for she keeps crying after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. And she said, oh, I'm sorry for bothering you, and walked away. No, she was determined. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me. Now, why would she think that Jesus owed her anything? She didn't. She was desperate, remember? Jesus doesn't owe us anything. The Lord doesn't owe you a thing. When you shake your fist at God, I know you never did. Right. And you say, Lord, why don't you? He doesn't owe you anything. You see, she wasn't coming to Jesus in a superior fashion lashing him with her tongue and pointing her finger in his face, she was on her knees begging out of desperation and determination, "Lord, help me, please." You ever had prayers like that? It's the greatest thing in a believer's life is to be to that place. You know, we always want to have pride and stand up tall, but true deliverance comes when we're humbled and broken before the Lord's throne. And we never feel like we should stand in the Lord's presence. We should only be on our knees begging the most magnificent God of the universe to hear our cry. "Lord, help me, please. I can't do this by myself. There's no one that can fix this problem. And yet, Lord, I'm not coming to you only because you're a fixer of problems, but because, Lord, you tell me to come to you. Because out of your grace and your mercy, you say that you will hear my cry. Because you, Lord, are a compassionate God, slow to anger, forgiving of sin. You, Lord, are the one I seek. You, Lord, only you." She is determined to overcome the resistance of Jesus. She is determined that he will hear her. And she is determined to stay humble. She says, "Lord, help me." And he says, "It's not right to take the bread from the children and give it to their dogs." What a comment from our Savior. And you think that people shouldn't offend you? How often have you gotten your feelings hurt because of something someone said, and you swear they should never have said that? You deserve better honor than what they just gave you. Can you imagine this? This woman has come groveling to the Lord. "Please help me." And so you don't understand. It's not right for the children not to have bread because it's going to their dogs. So she should have just stood up right there and say, "How dare you? How dare you? Who do you think you are? Don't you know I've come for your help and you're treating me like that? Forget you." Do you remember the account of Naaman in the Old Testament? Do you remember how he came to Elisha for healing? He had leprosy. And he was suffering from this leprosy. He was the right hand of the king of Syria at the time. And his maidservant was a Hebrew. And she said, "You know, Naaman, there is a prophet in Israel who heals. Why don't you go to him?" And Naaman resisted and resisted and finally said, "Yes, I'll go." Out of desperation, his skin flailing off his body, he decided to go. And he goes to the prophet, and the prophet won't even come out of the house. Elisha stays in the house and sends word that Naaman should just dip himself in the Jordan River. You know what Naaman's response was? "What? He won't even come out? I'm out of here." And he gets all offended and says, "If I was going to dip in a river, I can dip in the Tigris and the Euphrates, not this muddy, gunky river here." And his maidservant said, "Lord, if Elisha had asked you to do some great, amazing thing, you would have gladly done it. But since he's asked you to do this small thing, you resent him? Why not humble yourself and be healed?" So Naaman did, and he was. This woman comes, and Jesus is testing her faith. Jesus is teaching her what true, persevering faith is all about. What true prayer is all about. It comes out of a heart of desperation, but it lends to an act of determination. "Lord, I will not leave until I get your blessing. I will be like Jacob and wrestle with you all night until I know your blessing. Although it may take my hip." Go look that up later. "I will be blessed by you, not because I have earned it, not because I deserve it, but Lord, because I know that you are compassionate. I know that you are great and mighty. I know, Lord, that you can do this and will do this for your children. Lord, that's why I beg you. So Jesus says, it's not right that the children of Israel, who I came to, should not receive the glory of God because I'm going to a Gentile nation. That's what that really means. When he says it's not right to give the bread from the children's mouth to the dogs, that's what he means. And her answer, but Lord, even the little dogs under the table get the scraps that the children drop. What an amazing answer. Lord, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. You want to call me a little dog? I'm a little dog. I'm nothing. This is not about me. This is about you have all the power, and you are the one who should be glorified, not me. This isn't because of how great I am. This is because you are the only one who can do this, and I believe that you will. Lord, I'm not leaving until you do this thing. I'm not giving up. Do you remember how Jesus told us we're supposed to pray? He taught the disciples a parable to show them to pray and not lose heart. And he said every day there was a woman whose husband was in jail. And she would go to the judge, who was a wicked judge, and beg him every single day to let her husband out. And the judge was always expecting a big payoff. He was corrupt. He was crooked. He was a wicked judge. But he got tired of hearing her cry out day after day after day after day. And Jesus said, the judge said to himself, although I am a wicked man and do not fear God or man, this woman is wearing on me and I will grant her requests, basically just to get rid of her. And Jesus said, in the same way, so we should go to the Father in prayer. Don't grow weary. Don't give up. Have a desperation of soul. Have a determination of heart. I won't let go, Lord, until I see your glory. Now, it may not be the answer you're expecting, but when it's answered, you'll know it. I love how God answers prayer. Sometimes it's exactly how I asked. All the times, it's exactly how I need. The Lord's answer is so much more glorious than my expectations. Scripture says he will do exceedingly abundantly more than I can ask or imagine. And he does. And so the answer to prayer very seldom is the obvious answer, but always is the one I stand back and say, Lord, you are a great and wise God. It's amazing how you answered this. Thank you. But it only comes with perseverance. It only comes if I have a true walk with Christ. It is not going to happen necessarily overnight, although some requests are answered immediately. Now, I love in Daniel. Daniel is praying and he's been given a vision from God and it freaks him out. He doesn't know what to do with it. And so he cries out to God to answer him and show him what this vision is. And months go by. I can't remember exactly the time frame, but a long period of time comes by. And an angel comes and appears to him and says, Daniel, from the day you set your heart to praying on this, the answer was there, but I wasn't able to come immediately because of a battle in the heavenly realms. Yet the answer was given right away. And Daniel waited on it. In Jeremiah, at the end of Jeremiah's life, they come to him and they say, go and pray for us and ask the Lord if we're supposed to go to Egypt or if we're supposed to stay in this land. And Jeremiah says, okay, I will. And he does. And then the scripture says, as a matter of fact, 10 days later, Jeremiah got his answer. And every time I read that, I think, 10 days? Why'd you wait so long? 10 days? That's like an eternity when you have to make a decision. You can imagine these people every day. Jeremiah, you get your answer yet? Jeremiah, you get your answer yet? I'm still praying. 10 days. And the scripture says it like it was nothing. 10 days. Jeremiah went. Next verse says, 10 days later, the answer came. How many times can we not even go 10 days in prayer? How many times can you not even go, and I not even go, 10 minutes in prayer? Desperation, determination brings deliverance. Most amazing thing, when she answers the Lord out of her brokenness and humbleness, humility before the Son of David, when she says, but Lord, even the little dogs get the scraps from the table. She's saying, Lord, please, please, I'm not looking for all of your glory, but please share some of it, just a piece of it. Israel won't even notice. It'll just be a cast aside piece of your glory, but please heal my daughter. That is the faith that Jesus responds to. Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Is it amazing to you that there's only two people in Scripture that I've found that Jesus says that to? Have you ever wondered about this? Jesus doesn't look at Peter and say, Peter, you have great faith. No, he says, Peter, the answer you gave, you didn't come up with. Only my Father could have given that to you. He doesn't turn to John and James and all his disciples and say, what great faith you have. You've given up everything and you've been following me for these 3 years. There is no one that is following Jesus from the Jewish background that ever is told you have great faith. The only two people we see that Jesus is astonished or tells that they have a great faith is the Roman centurion, a Roman soldier, hated by the Jews. Can you imagine if you are being conquered by an army? If another country were to come over here and they would run our country and we would be under their authority and we couldn't do anything without soldiers standing everywhere from that opposing army. Can you imagine loving that army and wanting to see them glorified, wanting to see their people healed? Can you imagine them ever having something in common? I don't even know the word. A Roman commander comes to Jesus and says, Lord, my servant is sick. And Jesus says, okay, let's go. And the Roman commander says, no, Lord, I'm a man with many under me. When I say this and that, they do it. I know that if you just speak the word, my servant will be healed. And Jesus, it says, was astonished by this man's faith. And turned to the crowd and said, truly, I have not seen such great faith in all of Israel. The only other person he says anything like that about is this Gentile, Syro-Phoenician, Canaanite woman. You have great faith. What amazing thing. And she received the healing that she desired. Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Do you have the desperation to call upon your Savior? Have you come to the place where you've recognized that He is all that you have and that He is all that you need? And if you have, are you determined to seek Him until you find your answer? Is your heart to the place where you recognize your need for Him and you will do anything to see Him work on your behalf? That's a persevering faith. That's a faith that Jesus says is great. Is that the faith that you seek? Are you ready to follow Him no matter the cost? Are you ready to call on Him until you get your answer? You know, there's things, I was saved almost 20 years ago, right here. 20 years ago this September, Labor Day weekend. Ever since that day, 20 years ago, I've had the same prayers for members of my family. Day after day, night after night, praying the same prayers. Trying to change them up a little bit so I don't get caught in a rut, but the same desire of heart. And every time I go back to the scripture and it says, you will give them the desire of their heart. And I say, Lord, that's my desire, to see them saved. Please, Lord. I have no reason that I can say, Lord, you have to save them, but I am begging you to bring salvation to them so that they would know this joy, so that they would experience this incredible peace. Please, Lord, I beg of you. There are things in my life that I've been praying for, healing and release from. I'm not going to give up. Will you bow your heads with me? Close your eyes as we go before the Lord.